Okay, I can see myself, so we're getting ready to go. Can I have the roll call, please?
Burt?
Present.
Hafler?
Present.
Ormsby? Peters? Rafferty? Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the October 17th minutes as submitted.
Second.
Okay, great. We have a mic over here. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the meeting of October 17th, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes from the last meeting are approved. So again, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for November 21st, 2018. We are a recommending body approved or appointed by the City Council and the Mayor to address matters related to planning and zoning. And I see a number of you in the audience tonight. So at the appropriate time, if you have input in a particular case, we'd love to hear from you. You can go back to the podium, which is to my right and to your left, and provide your name and the input in the case. And with that, Greg, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, our first case involves an area out near the Century Heights additions. We've got Criswell Street right here, and this is the proposed site. This had been shown earlier as part of an overall Century Heights concept, and the proposed zoning at that time had been A1 to R2. ULI, which is the land use here, urban light intensity, permits the R2 zoning in this locale. And that's essentially what the developer is proposing here. This area here has been incorporated and added to what was originally shown in the packet to demonstrate this is what is being added also. Essentially, we're looking at 82 lots that are being proposed, but the means of access coming back to Criswell, and then there are certain side streets as well, and that'll be determined at a later date, the actual design with preliminary plat and final plat of how these things lay out relative to the surrounding parcels. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval of the A1 to R2 request for the rezoning. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. John, any updates since publication?
No, I think Greg covered, we have a corrected rezoning plat that he is displaying currently.
It's existing.
We'll make sure that the legal description matches that as it goes to the City Council, and the description for the rezoning is corrected. So. Minor issue, and we were fine with it going through. And as a matter of fact, the concept you're seeing matches what the zoning plat is. So okay. He's shown it from the very beginning.
Okay, thanks, John. Questions from the commission?
I do have one question.
Yep, go ahead, Ann.
Greg, on the aerial view, I see that the A1 section immediately to the west of this parcel that's been added. Okay, and then the R1 section is an outlot, correct? And that's part of a prior.
This right here, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So this, yeah.
Okay.
This will be added as under the correct zoning class. This is for convenience right here of mm-hmm. stormwater.
Okay, so my other question is, we're not looking at this whole parcel. We have a concept plan here, and I know that's not what we're talking about right now. We're just talking about rezoning, but I'm curious, is this parcel only going to be accessible from Criswell? So it won't connect to the other Century?
This will not, there will not be interconnectivity. The rugged nature of this ground,
mm-hmm.
Is if you've been out to the area, there's just a precipitous drop,
right.
And the problem is the city wanted at one time to extend 53rd all the way through. That was over $1 million proposition. The area is way too rugged, so that's why there is the designation, sort of this is the boundary area between these two different proposals.
as you go farther north, does that terrain?
It tends to, as you get up here further, I mean, it tends to not be as
But that's not
demonstrably, contouring, but when you get down here, it just begins to, it takes a massive fall off.
Right. Okay. That's the only question I had. Thank you.
So to bootstrap to Ann's question then, is that preliminary concept plan not the entire plat that we're rezoning today?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Anyone else in the commission?
Nope.
Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Okay, we'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 18-092, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, great. Thanks. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-092, rezoning subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. 18-092 is approved. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, our next proposal is at this locale right here, parcel that is south and west of the general parkland area here for Forest Grove Park. This is for the school district for Pleasant Valley. And the proposal is A1 to R2. Under this land use designation, essentially, there's any type of zoning permitted, and that is public and semi-public land use. And what we're looking at in the first stage, we will also be looking at the site development plan as well tonight, is this motion on the rezoning. The land use permits the R2 rezoning. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval with the conditions that are listed in the report.
Thanks, Greg. John, any updates in this one? Nope.
No, okay. I believe we're going to recommend that the council waive the three readings. So with your approval, if you have the approval tonight for the site plan, they can both go through at the same time.
Okay, great. Questions from the commission? Okay, wow, this is an easy night tonight. Mm-hmm. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope, okay. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I would recommend that we approve case 18083, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-083, rezoning, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Rezoning is approved, 18083. Greg?
We're looking at this same area for site plan. And you do have this area here outlined for the elementary school. And then we have recreational areas over there, parking, and means of access around the structures here. The amount of landscaping within this area has well met all of our requirements. Parking clearly met the requirements when we reviewed this again. The means of entry right here coming off of Forest Grove Drive, and this area here, the city has work as an approach for what would be future right-of-way to make sure that both of these lots over here and then the school lot, there'll be a street proposed at some point that will allow greater traffic mobility within the area. There's also an access down here. And then there's been dedication of right-of-way already to acknowledge the future widening of the street. Initially, there will be a sidewalk that will be placed here at 6 feet width. At such time as the improvements along Forest Grove Drive occur, then there will be a permanent 10-foot sidewalk placed up here as a trail for recreational purposes. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval of the plan as shown. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. John, any modifications. Brian?
I just had one quick update, if I could. Just on the 10-foot trail there, there's no, I guess, final decision been made that it would be on the north side. It's anticipated that it might be, and there'd be a crossover probably at Middle Road there. As far as that trail converting, it's currently on the south side to the west of Sun Forest Grove now. So that would be the only update there. And then I guess one other comment, just real quick, to the east of this site is our park facility. At some point, well, we're under design right now for including like pickleball courts, pavilion, restroom, that type of thing. But like I said, it's currently under design. So, and those facilities would be shared with kind of the school project there.
So, Brian, is that what we're seeing on this site development plan, or is that in those courts that you're referencing?
Yeah, the courts that are shown on there, the tennis courts for the PV project, there'll be a shared use there, though, between the two.
The entrances, are those, you can enter and exit from either entrance shown there? See what I'm saying? I mean, it's not a one-way in, one-way out type deal, is it?
No, that's correct. There's access both ways.
Because I know, I mean, and I'm assuming the school district has thought this through, but with elementary schools, you've got heavy traffic patterns for drop-off and pickup, so, yeah.
To piggyback on that, that shared access, how's that going to work when something's built on the other lot?
Okay, so
that'll be a street.
Be a street that would just extend north. There'd have to be some improvements done there, but the entrance would be permanent and then extend north along the lot line there between the two properties.
So then my next question would be for making a left-hand turn out of the school property onto that street. Are we awful close to Forest Grove? Are we comfortable with the distance away that will be?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Once the street is put in there?
Sure.
And now you're coming out of the school lot,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to take a left on that street, and you got somebody turning right off of Forest Grove on that street. Are we comfortable that when you're making that left out of the school lot that you're mm-hmm. far enough away from Forest Grove so you don't have traffic driving right into you?
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Brian, what's the timing of the CIP for the road out there?
Well, we're currently not in, so it's based on a 5-year cycle. We are not currently programmed for those improvements yet through that 5-year cycle, but it is on by state's list. We're anticipating it could likely occur in the next 7 to 10 years for that improvement based on funding.
So a ways out.
That is a ways out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the rate we're approving housing for out there, we need to get the school on the fast track.
Help me out, Jason.
You bet. Absolutely. Jason Holdorf with IMEG for the project here. Just trying to answer your question a little bit better on that north road. Eventually, once that becomes a north-south full street, what we're providing a provision is that you could loop the site all the way up to the north to kind of where you see that cul-de-sac at the top, and then they could exit from that location at that time. So what we've done is kind of tried to look in the crystal ball out in the future, but also provide a piece that works for now. And then we can make some minor modifications there to change it for the future. So if it does become an issue, we can easily loop the traffic across the west in front of the building, come out to the north, and then loop back onto that road at that time, whenever that occurs.
Great. I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Jason, while we got you there, can you a couple of things?
Sure.
One, there's in the packet, it says future bus entry. Is that in a different stage than the main construction?
Where does that say that? I'm sorry.
The last attachment in our packet had said it was noted future bus entry. I didn't know if that was something that's not part of the original design or will come later. Is that part of it?
The buses will be on the site from day one. As far as the specific location, they're still kind of working out a little bit of that with regards to the site. We have an option in on the south side or the west side, depending upon kind of traffic volumes and such, and that may change as sections are added. You know, as sections are added, you will maybe have a little bit more bus traffic and such, and then some modifications may be made where you potentially could use the bus drop-off on the south side for now, and then as the sections increase, then we can move that over to the west side, again, once that other road is extended and such.
It won't be on the east side around the parking, though?
They may have a, no, no. That would be all, try to keep the two separated between
sure.
the parent.
Yep.
Or the student drop-off, I guess, from parents, grandparents, whoever, and then the buses from a different location. Correct.
Yep, good, good. Yep. And then is there an anticipated time frame for this overall development for the school?
Yeah, it's a two-year build. I can let Jeff speak to that. Oops, sorry about that.
Jim Spillog, Superintendent, Pleasant Valley. Just a little background. Forest Grove will be our sixth elementary. It will be designed or is designed as a four-section building, which means it will have capacity for about 675 students, which would make it the same as all of our other Bettendorf elementaries, Hopewell, Pleasant View, and Riverdale Heights. In this stage, it will be built as a two-section building, although enhanced from that to deal with our need for additional special education capacity. But it's, as Jason was starting to say, it is a two-year construction window. It is planned to be open for the 21-22 academic year.
Great, thanks, appreciate that.
And the bus loading is on the, I'm not good on directions, west side. That's the design for busing. What we're, and the cul-de-sac that put in place temporarily is so buses can turn around prior to that road being there. What we're hoping is once the road's in place that we'll also be able to have a morning drop-off from people coming from the west on that side. People coming from the east will be in the big parking lot. So to keep some separation there, but we've certainly learned from Hopewell and Riverdale Heights, having a single entry and exit point is something we're going to avoid. And
yep, good call.
This avoids that. I also want to note this is a very beneficial partnership with the city. The large parking lot there is going to be used both by the city and the park, as will be the tennis courts, and the school district will have less interest but will still be a participant in the pickleball courts. We wouldn't have at the elementary much need for pickleball, but certainly recognize that as a great community asset. Equally, the city would probably be a little less interested in tennis courts, although not uninterested, and those are vital for us. Given that we only have 8 tennis courts right now. So this will double our capacity and allow the continued growth of our varsity program.
I appreciate that, and I think you and I worked together on the steering committee for the park a few number of years back, and mm-hmm. this was a vision at the time, to the joint shared use and development, and it's kind of exciting to see it all come together and work as planned. And in that regard, I want to say thank you. I know you're going to be retiring soon, and you've done a great job running the school district, and I have 3 products that have done very well out of the school system, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jim, I also wanted to comment that the design of the building ties in so nicely with the park structure that's already out there. It's really nice to see that cohesiveness of the whole property. It just really makes it look like a campus.
And that's our hope. I do have to put an asterisk by that. That's a little more expensive than what we would, those kind of treatments, mm-hmm. what we would normally do on the exterior of a building. So those are presented as alternatives in our bid documents. And so if the bids come in higher than what our budget can allow, some of that nice facade will have to be a little plainer, but
understandable.
We 100% agree that picking up, and that's exactly what it did, it picked up the design of on the park side,
mm-hmm.
Would really create a nice campus feel, but
yeah.
it is a little bit of a premium for us to do that.
Well, as I said earlier, we keep approving more and more houses being built out in that neighborhood, so.
Yeah, those 80 houses that you just approved,
right.
I believe that looked north of 53rd.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all designed to go into Forest Grove.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Great. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? No? Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 18-091, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-091, site development plan for the school. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18-091 is approved. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this is a sort of a two-prong proposal, and we'll sort of interrupt it with a presentation Mr. Sinkson will make right after I give this one on the replat. This right here we'll discuss is the last item on the agenda, which is a site development plan for the Forest Grove area, and then this is the actual item before us right now, which is a replat of an outlot that was done part of Forest Grove Crossing First Edition. And the developer was able to take a piece of this and divide it into three lots. These will be lots of record used for single family homes. And there was enough capacity, I believe, with this outlot and then this to take on the necessary stormwater. Our engineering department looked at this, and I believe that they have the necessary situation that they can accommodate the stormwater. There's also, at the behest of staff, too, an entry-level limiter to allow water to pass potentially as an overflow between these two lots, if necessary, through a drainage easement during an event greater than a 100-year downpour. Staff reviewing this proposal supports the recommendation for approval with the conditions in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. And then, John, did you have something immediately?
No, not on this.
No, okay. And no other updates above what?
Sure.
Okay. All right, questions from the commission on this case. Okay, this is lickety split tonight. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Yes, sir.
Good evening. Chris Yalcey with Yalcey Real Estate and Development. I'm just here to answer any questions. The main couple of main reasons is we wanted to, it's not showing on the plant, but across the street there's a couple of different would be a good way to put it, different shaped lots that we plan on using as a park area. And we changed this here to make this these two lots actually have a water feature in the back as well, because we're probably going to aerate that. I think we talked about doing that. So, again, any questions about that?
The water feature is in outlot A, what we're seeing up here?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have any further questions. I would say, just as a comment standpoint, I like to see the green space. That's appreciated, helps break up the subdivision, and makes it more tenable for folks up there in the water feature as well. So thanks for that. That little more enhancement for it. Anyone else in the commission, questions or comments? Nope. Okay, anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 18-093, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-093, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-093 is approved. Okay. John?
Your next case is the site plan for the townhouses at Village of the Woodlands. We've had some brief discussions ourselves before the meeting, Mr. Chairman, about this. Felt it'd be best if I came up here because there might be some explaining to do on this one.
Yep.
And as some of you know, a couple of these units have already been built, and now we're bringing the site plan before you, which is not our normal procedure. I meant right up front that it shouldn't have been done that way. That was a mistake, and this isn't, you know, something that we're not going to be having happen in the future, and I can explain that a little further. The location is being shown on the graphic that Greg is currently showing to you. It's an R5 district. If you'd go to the next. You previously approved a plat for the Villages of the Woodlands. The plat showed a 49-lot development, and those lots were of a size that would only accommodate townhouse-type development on them. The lot widths are mostly 30 foot in here. They do have some variant from that, but not much. Required for townhouses is 24 foot. The lot areas range from 3,450 to a few of the corner ones that go up as high as 8,000 square feet. Again, very typical of a townhouse type of development. 2,000 square feet is required for each lot for townhouses. The site plan shows the 49 units, which is the same as indicated by the plat. Most of these are 4 and 5-plexes, with one of the units being a 3-plex. The front, side, and rear setbacks are all met for this development. 23 units are going to be 1,267 square feet. 26 units will be 1,252 square feet. That gives a floor area ratio for this total development of 0.176, which is well below the 2.5, which is allowed for an R5 district. So, although it may, from the appearance that you're seeing right here, look rather dense, the density is really only, it's less than 10% of what can be allowed in an R5. And you look at this and you go, well, how's that even possible? And that's by building up. R5 allows multi-floor structures up to 10 stories and 150 feet high. There will be 94 off-street parking spaces are required for this total build-out. 196 spaces are provided, or 4 spaces per unit. On-street parking will be primarily prohibited because of the number of driveways you're going to have back to back to back. And on the south side of the south portion of the drive, parking will not be allowed there. However, on the north side of that south end of it, you'll have about 275 linear feet that parking could be accommodated on street. We don't calculate that when we do our parking calculation. Our calculation is strictly for off-street parking. That would allow approximately 11 vehicles to be parked down on that south end. The landscape plan. The plan meets our standards. If any of you have been out there is extensive berming on this site that is buffering all 3 sides, including the north there, that's berming it away from the commercial development. I'm not sure I've seen any other development that has berming that is so extensive as to what this is. And I think Mr. Windmiller is going to expand further on how those will be developed, how they'll be maintained later on in his presentation as well. The planning staff, engineering staff, public works, and fire have all reviewed the plan. They found that it meets and exceeds our standards, and we do recommend its approval. The elevations, that's one, and then there's another one showing a little closer view. that's one of them that's up already, so you can't get a better elevation representation than what is actually being built or has been built. I think that kind of explains where we're at, how we're at that, and why, but if you do have any further questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Where are the units that we're seeing that are already built, where are those on the plat there?
Mainly you're looking right at there. This area, and then there were some that were under construction over here, but this is what you're seeing.
Yeah, the west side.
So lots 36 through 49 have already been built?
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Are there people living in them already?
Some of them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
As I said, this could take some splaining.
So let's talk the parking again, because I missed something. I thought you said there had to be a certain amount of on-street parking available.
No. What we evaluate, they are required to have a certain number of off-street parking.
Okay.
So the off-street parking, they are required to have 98 off-street parking spaces.
Okay.
Each one has two spaces in the garage and two, minimum two spaces in their driveways. There's a few of these driveways that are long enough that might be able to accommodate more than that, but that's what our evaluation is. So they're providing 196 parking spaces.
Okay.
There is no requirement for on-street. As a matter of fact, go down a couple more.
So with 1,200 square feet, you're not going to have 30 people over for Thanksgiving, so
that's
probably okay.
No, you're not going to have large parties in these units. Directly next door to this is the McNamara development.
Mm-hmm.
Same situation. By and large, you're not going to have on-street parking there because it's back-to-back driveways. They do provide a few, and again, it's probably about 9 to 11, like, is available for this on-street parking, but we don't calculate that. If you go to the next one, Greg, also Cedar Woods was developed. And if the next one, you'll see the overhead of that. And basically, you can see there's head-on parking into those garages. And then once that happens, you've got just enough room for cars to go back and forth. Now, that's not a public roadway, but it's a very similar situation that we've had previously on these types of developments with townhouses. Go ahead to the next one. About 7 months ago, we implemented a new system. It's called LLAMA, doesn't matter. And then we implemented procedures that go along with that system. Previously, things passed through Planning and Zoning Commission and then the City Council. They got the approved plan through sent to building inspection, and really there wasn't much communication back and forth there after that stage. This new system and the procedures that were launched with it forces multiple disciplines to be looking at these developments before building permits are issued from now on. For instance, multiple times a day I get emails like this, and the software generates the email and says, you got to look at these, and you have to review them, and you got to review them. If you go to the next slide, over on the right-hand side, just for this simple project, you can see that there is a review that has to be done by building inspections, by Rob DePover for the Concesco, by myself for a floodplain, and also by somebody from the planning. So you've got multiple notifications, and the permit can't proceed forward to be issued until all of that is taken care of. So I am confident that something like this is not going to happen again.
That helps. Thanks, John.
Speechless.
Well, yeah, I know.
And when you say something like this, what happened apparently was the building permit was issued and they started building before the site plan was approved.
That's correct.
Or before it was even submitted?
That's correct.
But there was a plat, and there are plat documents that have been recorded.
That's correct. It was.
And is the developer the... Are these being sold to individual homeowners, or is the developer using them as rental properties?
I believe they're being sold by individuals.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's
So you would have thought the bank.
That's why the lot.
Just wondering how they got through a title opinion and a lender or financing and all that without.
And that's what we don't want to screw. We don't want to screw people up on this.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Go through the process and get this right.
Yeah, no, I'm.
And once it came to my attention, we told them they have to come through the process.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
There's questions that I would normally ask at this stage that are somewhat moot points because the building, there's a large section of buildings sitting there. One of the photographs that you showed us, I could see there being a huge, right there, issue with people blocking the sidewalk with cars just because of the parking situation. And I don't, that's not to be remedied at this point, I don't think.
Some of this will be self-regulating.
Mm-hmm.
You can't invite a whole bunch of people over if you cannot accommodate them.
Right.
Those driveways are long enough that if they have two in the driveways, it's not going to block the sidewalks.
Yeah, on the curve like that, on the straightaway, they're pretty shallow.
Pretty short.
Okay.
So in this period of time between when you discovered the site plan hadn't gone through the process and now, has there been any discussion about trying to insert a few more pockets or create an opportunity for any type of overflow parking?
No, there hasn't. They're providing twice what is required by ordinance. I don't know that we could really dictate that kind of thing to them.
This one caused me a lot of angst. I love to go to the Parade of Homes. I went to the Parade of Homes, and there were people parked all over for the Parade of Homes. And I asked the realtor on site, I said, where would one park here, recognizing that there's no on-street parking? Yeah, the Super Bowl Thanksgiving Day party day. So, and his response was, well, down around the corner where you curve, where you show that. And he said, or if not there, go up to the commercial building 400 feet to the north. And I thought, well, that's not a very practical solution. So I phoned up John and I said, hey, I said, just from a practical standpoint, this just doesn't seem like it works. I mean, from a functional standpoint, when a crowd comes day to day, in and out, it's probably okay. But there's these pinch points when it's going to be pretty uncomfortable. And he pointed out to me very appropriately that, as he just said to us, it's 98th Street are provided, 196 total. They're technically way over parked. But from a practical standpoint, it's going to be dysfunctional a lot of times. So
and
we might have a lever to fix it, but we're going to put together a parking team to talk about situations like this that really, from a practical standpoint, require some kind of overflow parking to make it functional for everybody.
And we're going to be having that workshop. You all got the invitation through email. I anticipate that'll be sometime the second week in December. And I think that's one of the issues that's going to be talked about.
Yeah.
Right.
This very thing. But at this point, this is our ordinance requirements, and they meet the ordinance requirements.
Yeah.
And I would share your concern with the sidewalk, if for not the fact that this is one area where it's nothing is going through. It's just circling back around.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I think that would be a major issue that you can't get through without going on the street, but given that it's basically a very large cul-de-sac, I don't know that it's that big a deal here, other than the fact we didn't get to look at it first.
Right.
And right now it's not a big problem for the current population there because
there's
the whole inside,
on the other side of the street.
So that's all open. Even in the picture, if you back up, when you see all the construction workers' vehicles there parked in the street. So it works today, but when it's completely populated inside and out of the drive, that's going to be a challenge. But that, it's self-policing to the extent if you walk up and you can't figure out where your friends are going to come, you might have to buy somewhere else. Or if it works for you, great. You've got one car and you got three friends, you're in great shape.
Or heaven.
We're going to have to. carpool.
Well,
heaven
forbid. This is an item we're going to have some in-depth discussion with
Yeah.
Dr. Richards within a couple of weeks here.
Yeah. I mean, and with the cost of dirt, I get it from a developer standpoint. It's like parking could get real expensive, you know, when you do it. But are there ways we can get more creative with the design and move buildings back and forth? You know, you got a lot of open space here, which is great, but maybe there's a way to reconfigure it or something and end up with parking that didn't take away from anything. So I had one other question, John, and maybe Craig, I saw Craig's back here, can address it when he's going to talk to us. But you mentioned the slopes or the berms, and there are some really aggressive slopes, and there's a requirement 3-to-1. Are they currently at 3-to-1?
He is prepared to talk to you about that here.
We'll defer that to Greg then. Okay. Or Craig, sorry. Questions or comments from the commission other than what we had? I think it's time for Mr. Windmiller. Mr. Windmillers.
Okay, so to address a few.
Reed and Craig Windmiller.
Yeah. To address a few of the issues, the parking, we actually talked about the parking back in 2016 when this was originally brought as the plat. And we addressed all these issues, and it met the requirements then. And we haven't changed anything from them because it met the requirements. The other thing is on parking with the depth, there's a 25-foot setback, building setback. So from the sidewalk to the very front of the garage is 25 feet. You can get pretty much everything in there except for maybe a long bed crew cab truck. We've got most of the people in this neighborhood that are living there are parking in the garages. There's only a few that are parking out on the street, and they're parking well away from the sidewalk. There's no blocking the sidewalk with them, and they have, I think they both have SUVs, if I remember right. As far as the berms go, they are they're about a 2-to-1 slope, so they're pretty steep. However, we have planted everything in prairie grass, and they're designed to be a no maintenance berm. You put the prairie grass up, it grows, it does its natural thing of choking out the weeds once it gets fully established. The first couple of years we have to spray it with weed killer to keep the weeds down and get the prairie grass to be fully established. After that, you just let it grow and do its thing, and you don't have to worry about maintaining them.
In our notes, it makes reference that the slopes will be 3-to-1 as one of the recommended actions. It said any berm part used as part of buffering area for the multifamily and commercial districts between residential must be at a 3-to-1 slope. So where are we at with the 2-to-1, John, and the 3-to-1?
That's the issue at hand. That's a code requirement, or that berms have to be 3-to-1. And the intent behind that is that it allows you the ability to get equipment up there to mow it. You know, 3-to-1, you can actually mow. Something's more with a higher incline than that, you can't get up there and mow it. They're asking you to accept the plan that they are going to do a greater incline with a design that doesn't have to be maintained. If you're comfortable with that, making that recommendation to the City Council, the City Council does have the ability to waive any standard at the time it goes before them. So that would have to be something that gets approved by the City Council as well.
As opposed to a Board of Adjustment item of some kind?
No, the City Council can do that.
But would this not be something that the Board of Adjustment would look at as far as a variance for a slope or no? It's unusual, and I
don't think this is something that would go before the board. I think the City Council would have to waive the requirement.
Is the berm on the land of each owner then?
Yes.
It's straddling, yeah.
John, do you have those pictures that we provided you?
Yeah.
Was there a homeowners association?
Right there. Nope, I don't see it.
That's now there's something you can sort of see something here.
Is that all you have for purchase?
It's direct. Yeah, that's all we have. It's directly behind.
Mm-hmm. But each owner owns its little piece of the berm as it goes along.
Or is it part of the HOA?
Okay, let's Let me put a little clarification on this. The berms, and I thought we sent you pictures, and we also have pictures of our Copper Ridge. Those berms have been 7-8 years.
What slope are those, Craig? Are those 3 or 2 to 1 as well?
Yes. And they vary. The practical side of this, and think about this as a homeowners association, if you don't have to maintain them, obviously you don't have cost. Our neighbor at Copper Ridge across the way, Valley Winds, has smaller berms, that 3 to 1, and they have trees and landscaping and that sort of thing. They have to maintain those. Their association costs are greater. Ours, with the prairie grass, you don't have the cost to maintain, mow, and that sort of thing. And that was that was one of the ideas. The second idea in it, it provides privacy. And privacy on both sides of the berm, in this case, the townhouses back up to this berm. So when they look out, they see lush green prairie grass that gets about 16, 18 inches high. And then on the other side of this berm are single family. They do the same thing. This berm is shared between the two neighborhoods. And there's an association on both of them and a shared scenario. So this has been thought out and done for that purpose and for creating lush look. And I'm going to back up to Copper Ridge. In Copper Ridge, we put these berms in, the first big berms that we put in. Some of those sites that back up to Devil's Glen Road were the first ones to go because people liked the privacy. Those sites were a little bit less money, and we're surrounded on two sides by roads, Devil's Glen and Forest Grove. Those sites sell equally as well as the sites inside. So it's a multi scenario in this case. And you're welcome to drive out and look at Copper Ridge at a finished product. Even the ones that we have in Copper Ridge, we have all the berms in, we have prairie grass on all of them with the exception, because we're working on the third edition, which backs up to Genesis, and that too will have the same berm, prairie grass scenario. Prairie grass, just so you know, is a native product of Iowa, and it has been here for thousands of years. So we're just going back to that and trying to create nature in people's backyards.
So what I'm trying to get, is the berm a common area then or not?
No, it belongs on each lot, and each owner owns part of that berm.
Okay, and I agree. I think the prairie grass is great and the berm is great. But what, you know, in the future when Craig Windmiller's done developing this project and all the homes are owned individually, you know, what do we do if the owner of lot number 43 decides he doesn't like the prairie grass anymore and he's going to mow it down and plant regular grass on the hillside?
There's a covenant. It's all in the covenant.
Okay.
This project's also all these townhouses are association maintained as well.
So the covenants say you can't cut the prairie grass down.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've been out there and looked at it. In fact, a couple hours ago, I was out there before it got dark. I think you got a great look at Copper Ridge. And in fact, I was going to ask you what kind of grass you had because there's some areas on some slopes that I don't want to mow. And it's got a great look, and it gets to a certain height, and it just kind of stays there. So, and you don't have to water it, and you don't have to mow it. It's a great thing. Totally agree. I'm sensing, though, that the slopes, especially out at Copper Ridge, are not quite that same 2-to-1 because you got some slopes at especially backing up to the new three-story apartments that are, like, unbelievable. They don't appear, and I didn't get out there and calculate, but and I'm no engineer, but there's some angle of repose or something. Will the dirt hold at that kind of grade versus this? I mean, or is it going to continue to wash away because of that slope?
It should hold, especially with the prairie grass. It's a deep-rooted system as well, which actually helps with that soil stability.
So that we don't have an integrity issue 5-10 years down the road at a 2-to-1 versus a 3-to-1.
No, I mean, not with this particular product, not with the okay. deep-rooted system.
I think it's a great-looking solution, so.
I, too, like the look. Really like it on Copper Ridge, riding my bike by there quite a bit in the summer. Given what's happening in California right now, though, I just have maybe a question or a caution that we may want to have some sort of a plan in place for really, really dry years, because I would imagine, especially with a 2-to-1 slope, if we have a dry year and that somebody throws a cigarette or something in there, it's going to go up fast at that angle. So I just caution that maybe somebody needs to look at a plan for making sure that we don't have an issue later. But I like it in general.
Steve, any comment on that from a fire standpoint?
It would generally be far enough away that it wouldn't really be a hazard to the buildings. It would take care of all the grass on the whole berm. But
pretty quick, I would think.
Right.
What's our rear yard setback there? Well, from the berm, toe of the berm to the building, roughly, what are we talking about distance there?
I believe we have 15 feet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Close, yeah.
Actually, not at Copper Ridge, but there, pretty close.
I take that back. It's 15 is where we originally were at. The builder wasn't happy with that, so we moved the berm back. We have roughly 20 feet. It kind of varies in and out. We have some at 18, and then we have some at, I think, are like 23 to 24, some areas.
Just take it as a suggestion that maybe the HOA should be, they should have some gauge and work with the fire department on it gets certain dryness that you do something just to make sure. I don't know what it would be. That's not for me to figure out.
So procedural question then, John. If we approve as suggested and adopt recommend the 2-to-1 slope, does that apply just to this part of the development? Because that 2-to-1's throughout your, like over where you join the single family and the three-story apartments
it's
now.
It's everywhere within our subdivision. We have 2-to-1 slopes.
And is that an approved 2-to-1 over there as well through some kind of process? Because that's 2-to-1 as well.
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, I think I'll check. Isn't it?
Well, I guess for their benefit, there needs to be some way of formally approving it.
Yeah.
I'll check with the city attorney on Monday and see what the best way to proceed with that is.
You've got 2-to-1 throughout your development there in a budding.
We have some in Copper Ridge, too, so I have to go back farther.
Okay, procedural check.
So the just, again, I'm not an engineer. Visually, the slope seems much steeper in the Village of the Woodlands than at Copper Ridge, but you're saying it's the same.
Copper Ridge has a lot of 3-to-1, but there are some areas where it is 2-to-1. It's majority 3-to-1, though.
Okay. I can see why that's an advantage here, because you have much more, the space is much more limited than across the road.
We also needed taller berms as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and not necessarily this body, but and Bill Connors suggested a long time ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, he said, boy, we'd like to see some urban single family, multifamily, commercial, and you have a perfect spot to do that. We followed that very much. We're not necessarily commercial builders, though we have built about 10 buildings in the city of Bettendorf, well, Bettendorf and Davenport, commercially wise. So we followed that, and we're hoping that we're setting the example for other builder developers to do that in this what we call premier city. So we're hoping that you will work with us on it, because we're trying to work with you guys on it.
Absolutely, and I agree with you, Craig. I think it's a nice development that fits the spirit of multiple uses living together. So it just sounds like we got to do a little administrative detail if we've got some existing 3-to-1s that have not technically been approved, as we might be doing here tonight. So, but the look of it and the concept of the low maintenance and low water usage and all those things are, I think, headed in the right direction. And from a landscape standpoint, I drove through again early tonight before I came over, and You've got a lot of very large caliper trees and things that just, you've done it very nicely over there, so it looks great.
Thank you. We appreciate the comment.
Yep.
I refer to this development on more than one occasion as a poster child for what we had in mind when we went through the comp planning. And there's so much work that's happened out there in such a short amount of time. So for things to maybe get a little bit out of sync or need to come back for some fine-tuning, I understand that. The whole idea of missing a kind of important step is, you know, I can see how it happened, and hopefully we can get it fixed.
Sure. Well, we appreciate you working with us on that.
Okay. Anyone else in the audience? Further comments? Anyone else in the commission?
Well, I guess I just have a procedural question.
Yep.
So we have a case that has recommendations from staff, and we've discussed a slope that's different than what's recommended. So if we're going to entertain a motion, it needs to have a reference to this issue of slope.
I think a modification of item number two.
Absolutely.
Yeah. To accept or recommend acceptance of a 2-to-1 slope
acceptance
provided.
Acceptance with staff or recommendations with the exception of whatever number that one is.
In the number two.
Number two.
Okay.
Provided that it's landscaped and secured as described with the prairie grass to make it an acceptable from an engineering standpoint.
Get that down, Lisa. I think that'll be perfect for the motion.
I agree.
So moved.
Can I move?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Are we ready, though?
We are. Right. I am if you guys are. And okay. Ladies.
And?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 18-094, subject to staff recommendations with the exception of item number two regarding the slope or the berms, and per our discussion and the promises from the developer as far as the type of product there, I would recommend for a 2-to-1 slope in that section.
Not section.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, and I'm going to ask a discussion question for a minute then. So from a procedural standpoint, would that be a plat note then that becomes recorded and makes it a requirement that way?
We could have the note added to the site plan before it goes to City Council.
I think that would make it all tie together, and then it's
very
recorded
good.
As part. I'm looking at you because you're a quasi attorney tonight, since our real one's not here.
Just quasi.
I suppose.
Okay.
I thought there was a plat recorded already, though.
Yep,
there is.
There is.
Okay.
There is. That's why the only place you can add it now is to the site plan.
Yeah.
And site plans routinely follow plats.
However, it's properly
usually closer.
However, it's properly assured. I just want to make sure. And then for the other ones that are existing, putting them kind of back in the box the way they should.
And again, I'll speak to the city attorney about that.
Yeah, great. All right, so we have a motion, we have a second, we had our discussion. All those in favor of the motion as stated, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-094 is approved, subject to staff recommendations with the one modification. Okay. Greg.
Our next case is the one involving Forest Grove Crossing, first edition, lots 27 through 41. Essentially, the area you're looking at is right up here in the northwest portion of the overall proposed development as it's going to be built. These are the lots that we're looking at right here that are essentially a part of the development, and it's multifamily, where each unit has its own means of entry. And you have what amounts to 15 different townhouse, what you might call townhouse type units, within this development. We've got an asphalt means of access to each of these streets for emergency purposes. We have the street basically here is the means of getting up here, which I believe is Jake's Lane, which is the one that shall be paved to each of these. This gives you an example of the way that footprint will look uniformly throughout the site. And then I think you've seen this before, this photo, what was featured to us before during the rezoning procedures. The site is very amply landscaped. There is certainly a number of trees that have been provided by the developer, and when I ran the totals, clearly met the count for the site. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval, and I think as maybe our community development director, Mr. Sankson, had indicated that this is going through a procedure now for the review. At such time as the moratorium on multifamily is removed, then this will go to City Council. Staff recommends approval of this site plan. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Any other additions, John, other than the multifamily?
The moratorium that the council put on was a council moratorium. It was not a moratorium for you, and they did indicate to me that we could go ahead and bring things before you. Obviously, the density in this is not one of the issues that the council was having. And while Greg's absolutely right, these do appear to be townhouse units. By code, a townhouse cannot have a unit above and below. So it is part of that moratorium. I anticipate we're going to have that meeting again the second week in December. I'm going to send you the final date when it comes out. It may not hold this up very much at all, maybe just one council cycle, because I anticipate following the summit that we're going to have, we'll have the clear direction which way the council wants to go, and they'll probably just lift that.
Okay.
So bringing it through now is a timely thing to do.
Sure. Keep it moving forward as far as you can.
Absolutely.
All we can. Yeah, great. Okay. Questions from the commission on this?
Looks like there's more than adequate parking.
And on the street, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter?
Again, Chris Yalsi here to answer any questions. We have about 50 to 60 feet in front of the buildings themselves of off-street, or excuse me, on-street parking. If you recall, when we came before you for zoning, the two-car garages, if you could show that picture, Greg, you basically come in on the sides for the garages there, right there. Thank you. So right in front of those, there's on-street parking. In addition, these are all two-car garages, and there's plenty of parking, you know, within the lot itself. So we haven't really changed anything since we went before you for zoning. The buildings are exactly as we had presented them.
So is this what we're looking at, a four-unit building then?
Yes, sir. It is, and these are, I understand in talking to John, this, I guess, doesn't meet your criteria for a townhome, but in the legal world, from a title work perspective and from a deed transfer, it will meet that requirement.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So within these buildings, you have an upstairs unit and a downstairs unit on each side?
Yes, correct.
Interesting concept.
Yeah. Okay, anyone else in the audience? Thank you, Chris. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 18-095, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-095, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign. 18-095 is approved. And I think that takes us to the commission update, Mr. John.
Ever so briefly, Mr. Chairman, at the November 6th council meeting, they gave approval to the site development plan for the fourplex at 3249 Palmer Hills Court, the site development plan for the townhouses at the Springs north of Crow Creek Park. They approved the site development plan for the storage units at 108 35th Street, and then they approved Terrell's second addition, which is east of Harbor Drive. At last night's council meeting, they approved the third and final reading of the rezoning at Utica Ridge Place for the anticipated Quick Star. Only other update I have, very much appreciate that you came here on the night before Thanksgiving. I know how disruptive that was, so thank you.
No, I'm
glad, being able to make this meeting.
Glad we could get together and keep the ball rolling for the better of the city. And with that, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Hope you have a great time and don't eat too much. And we'll see you in about a month. So with that, we're adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.